listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Thank you for listening wherever you are on planet Earth. On today's program, I want to talk about a dark and sinister plan that has been underway for a long time. And I mean, it goes back all the way past the time of Mystery Babylon. But bringing it up to speed into more recent years, that plan has really accelerated beginning in the late 1800s and then super accelerating in the 1900s and really, really hyper accelerating in the last 60, 50, 40 years. And by the time you go back in time 40 years ago, it's just pedal to the metal all the way. So what is this secret plan, this secret agenda? Now, if you tell me that that's a conspiracy theory, I'll give you an answer. You're absolutely wrong. You're incorrect. In fact, your answer is false. Why do I know that? Because for you to say that there is no secret plan underway reveals to me that, to be blunt, you have no idea what you're talking about. You haven't done any reading, you haven't done any research, and therefore you're speaking out of your hat. Now, I'm not trying to be nasty, but somebody needs to tell you the truth. Because you see, people on both sides of the fence, ideologically, the left versus the right, or whatever categories you want to use, all of their leaders, all of their thinkers, all of their authors and activists and key people on either side of the ideological fence would essentially say the same thing about a great deal of what's happening. Now, they may not, in an overall sense, agree. They may not, in the solution, agree. But you'd be surprised how many times the left and the right agree, even though they're on the opposing sides of the spectrum. So, to just be succinct, you're incorrect about your conclusion regarding if you tell me there's no secret plan underway in America and around the world. Just pretend you're on a game show on television and the buzzer or the bell goes off. You just got booted off the set. And the reason you got booted off the set is you haven't done your homework. You haven't done any research at all. So because you haven't done your homework, you haven't done any research at all, you have disqualified yourself from giving an intelligent answer and saying that it's a conspiracy theory and that people like me are wrong because there is no secret plan. That's the answer that a dumbbell gives. I mean, it's just not acceptable to be so stupid. The only time you hear people speaking with that level of stupidity is, you know, when you watch network cable news. These days, any cable news network, it used to be that only the local channels, which I never watch, I haven't watched a local television news channel, you know, like Channel 2, 4, 7, or whatever. I haven't watched one of those networks, I don't know, since the time of the dinosaurs. Because those programs are designed. You were in one of their meetings. They know who their demographic is. They know who watches their TV station, and it's people that you know, basically don't know a whole lot about anything, have a very superficial understanding of what's going on in the world, and they've got to keep it very light. So the emphasis of the program is on how pretty the dress is of the weather girl, or how handsome the weather guy is with his suit. And then, you know, they can't risk having their news people, and even that word's a joke, they can't risk having their news people even make the most minimal commentary, because their news people are so unqualified to give any commentary at all. I mean, their news people are flat-out airheads. So they're basically told to shut up and read from the teleprompter. Okay, so I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm simply asking you a question. If you want to be an effective person in this world, if you want to be respected in this world, if you would like to be perceived of as intelligent and knowledgeable kind of person that people look up to, let me give you a hint. You got to step up your game a lot, because the current level that you're operating at is like, you know, those people who, I'm not making fun of those people. They can't find a good job. They're hungry. I don't know why they're doing it, but, you know, they get paid by the hour or whatever to wear a clown outfit, and they have to wave a big sign, which must be very tiring. They have to wave a big sign that, you know, two pizzas for the price of one, or whatever it is, to get people's attention who are driving in their cars. Now, that's not a fun job, I guarantee it. And they're not paid very much. But that's a job that when people give an appraisal about the type of person who has that job, they come up with the appraisal of, you know, this person can't do anything else but that they have no qualifications. Well, you don't want to be perceived like that in life, not because you're an egomaniac. It's just because that gets to get old really quickly. Okay, so this is where we're going with this. The critical thing here is that we live in a world where we're being bombarded with information. Some of it is disinformation. Some of it is accurate information. To the degree that we're willing to, like, show up to the plate and read and think and be aware and be receptive, and how that comes about is a million different ways. If you're going to hang out with a bunch of, you know, clowns rehearsing for a clown show, you're not going to have the intellectual abilities, the communication abilities, or any kind of abilities that will gain you respect. Nobody's going to listen to you. So you've got to show up at the plate with an arsenal, like weaponry, but I'm not talking about like military weaponry. I'm talking about intellectual weaponry and spiritual weaponry. Why? Well, because if you have a biblical worldview, you understand that you and I are right now in, and I titled one of my books this title, "The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World." It's never been more intense, and it's raging all around us. And the battle is taking place primarily in the area of people's thoughts, hearts, thinking, and minds. That's where this battle is raging. And the battle is, like many like most military battles, the battle is over geographic territory and people and monetary assets. I mean, almost all wars are fought over things like that. So, the army that wins or is victorious, they are able to be victorious because they can more effectively persuade or win the hearts and minds of the people than their enemies can. They are able to convert more people over to their side than their enemies can. And so this war may go on, you know, a short period of time, a long period of time. But when the day is done, the group that is able to convert more people to their side than any other group is going to be the group that is victorious in the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind. They're going to be the winners. They're going to be the conquerors and not be the conquered. So here we are in society, and let's talk about America and the rest of the world. But I'm in America, so I'm going to talk about America first. America is the most important nation in this battle because America is ground zero in the battle. Because America is on a giant hilltop, a pedestal. Whatever happens in America, good or bad, good ideas or bad ideas, whatever it is that happens in America, happens and changes all the rest of the world. And you know, it's nothing to do with rah, 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 I'm an American or Americanism or, you know, all the rest of that stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm simply talking about a geopolitical fact. Because of America's incredible power as a nation, I'm talking about economic power, I'm talking about legal, governmental power. In other words, America is the only nation on planet Earth where the people have all these constitutional rights, Bill of Rights, freedoms, a possibility of the American dream. An economy worth living in where the average person over time, a large percentage of the average person over time can achieve the American dream in terms of a house and stuff like that. And America is the only nation on earth where the average citizen has all these guaranteed freedoms, including freedom of the press, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and many other freedoms. America has all these things. Now, because America has all these things, these privileges, these freedoms, these laws protecting us, it is because of all those reasons America, in any battle, is always going to have an enormous superiority an advantage, because the power of America does not reside in how many nukes we have buried in silos in Iowa or wherever. America has enormous power because of our inner belief system, and this is critical. This is critical to grasp because we know, and one of the things I talk about on the Paul McGuire Report a great deal is the fact that knowledge is power. So the nation and the people that have accumulated the most truthful and accurate knowledge also end up with the most power, because knowledge is power. Now, in order for knowledge to be powerful, it has to be truthful knowledge. I mean, you know, if you're taught a bunch of lies, you don't, that's not knowledge. You have no power. You're powerless. In fact, the more lies you believe, the more powerless and conquered you are. So it has to be truth. That's why Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." So, what's going on planet Earth right now, and it's important to understand this fully and to grasp it fully. What's going on planet Earth right now is there is an enormous global war. And in this enormous global war, the globalist elite have changed a strategy that they've employed for decades after decade. It used to be the globalist elite kind of left the ordinary people alone. Now the globalist elite, due to Agenda 2030, is in a full speed change of direction, and they have actually given a date, a target date, that signifies their expectation about exactly when they expect to have conquered America and many other nations. And that due date for the globalist elite is known as Agenda 2030. So by the year 2030, they fully expect to have put into place and to have implemented successfully, they think it's going to be successful, their battle plan. And so what we need to understand is, again, knowledge is power. So remember, knowing lies is not power. Knowing lies is the pathway to a concentration camp or the pathway to slavery. So one of the first things that the globalist elite is spending an enormous amount of money pounding into people's heads through social engineering and propaganda. They are repeating in people's minds over and over again that this great reset is going to be the greatest thing that has ever happened to the people of planet Earth. That this great reset is the most liberating philosophy and most liberating global reboot the world has ever had. And they're selling it because they have enormous money to sell it with. And they're selling it with the passion and enthusiasm of really a cult, and they are selling it with a passion and a power. And so when Klaus Schwab, he's one of the key generals in this global takeover, when Klaus Schwab, who is the head of the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab is the author of the Fourth Industrial Revolution. When he starts to pitch the global reset, he's talking about it with the same passion that communist revolutionaries would tell people they're just about ready to conquer. He's telling people with the same passion, and he's saying things like this over and over again. And I've talked about this in the last number of days. He's saying these words: "You will own nothing, but you will never be happier in your life." So if you know history, you have power. And okay, this is critical. If you know history, you have power. Why? Because if you know history, you have knowledge. Knowledge is power. If you know history, then you have the knowledge, which is power, that the communist revolutionaries like Lenin Adolf Hitler, the Nazi revolutionary, and many others all said basically the same thing to their people. They made them these, what you could call utopian promises. Karl Marx, who wrote the Communist Manifesto, and all the other people who were promoting communism, they almost said word for word what Klaus Schwab is saying. They just tweaked the words a little bit. So instead of saying to the masses, you'll own nothing, but you'll never be happier in your life, they said stuff like, communism is going to bring you a workers' paradise. Communism is going to bring you heaven on earth. Communism is going to bring you the total fair redistribution of wealth. Communism is going to give you an equal, fair healthcare system. Communism is going to give you great jobs for everybody. So when it comes down to it, they're selling you communism by listing all these incredible benefits and pluses that communism is going to give you. But they all sound almost identical to, you'll own nothing, but you'll never be happier in your life. That's a lie, by the way. And again, if you have knowledge, if you have historical knowledge, if you have economic knowledge, you have power. And if you have economic knowledge and historical knowledge, you wouldn't be so gullible to be fooled by these very transparent lies. The people who go into captivity, the people who go into slavery, the people that are fooled by the hollow promises of communism are the people who have no knowledge. Because anybody who knows even an ounce of history can tell you that wherever there has been a communist, Marxist, or socialist revolution, there has never been a workers' paradise. There has never been a fair wealth redistribution. There has never been social justice. There has never been an equal redistribution of the wealth. There has never been free health care for everybody. There has never been a workers' paradise, heaven on earth, and all the rest of that stuff. All those promises of a heaven on earth via communism or Marxism or socialism, it never came true. And anybody who knows history or economics or has knowledge, which is power, knows that. It's a seductive con job designed to do what Satan does. What does Satan do? He robs, he kills, and destroys. So isn't it interesting that the key words that are used by communist revolutionaries to start communist revolutions are the same words that Satan uses? Because Satan has a primary goal. It's to go about stealing, killing, and destroying people. It's about destroying people through lies. And then when you put the lies in the people, you put them in tyrannical governments, totalitarian governments, where people are shot to death, tortured to death, starved to death, thrown in concentration camps, thrown in gas ovens and burned alive, thrown in torture chambers. Communism, Nazism, all these totalitarian heaven on earth schemes bring about a horrible brutality. So those are all facts. And anybody who has a minimal knowledge of history has power because they know these facts. The people that are susceptible, the people that are gullible to the lies of communism and Nazism, etc., those are the people that have a certain amount of education and know that all these utopian promises of communism are based on complete and total lies. So you have all these people, especially young people, they're just thrilled. They're high as a kite when they hear Klaus Schwab say, "You'll own nothing, but you'll never be happier in your life." Okay, so here's a question. Where in human history, when in human history, has there ever been a nation or a society where the people have owned nothing and yet they have never been happier in their life? So to answer that question, you have to have a little bit of knowledge because knowledge is power. The answer, as most of you know, is there has never been a civilization, there has never been a nation in the history of mankind where the people owned nothing and have never been happier in their lives. Because everybody knows who has any knowledge that a part of being able to be happy is you have to have a certain amount of prosperity, which requires you have to be able to own things. You have to be able to own money and assets and prosperity. That brings, to a significant degree, happiness and freedom. If you own nothing and you can't buy anything, the fact that you own nothing means you're going to be impoverished, enslaved, and poor. And then you will be abused by a totalitarian government in the most merciless way. So that's what a knowledge of history teaches you. So our children, and that means your children and my children, Christian children, non-Christian children, have all gone through the mass educational process. The primary purpose of the mass educational process, the mass or public school system, the primary purpose of the educational system is to make all the students equally stupid. It's to dumb them down. It's to take away knowledge, which is to take away power, so they don't know the truth about anything. They don't know any historical facts. They don't know how things really played out for people in previous generations. Because then, if they did have a minimal amount of knowledge, they would know for a fact that every nation or culture where the people owned nothing, they were miserable, poor, and starving. So what Klaus Schwab is saying to the masses of socially engineered, dumbed-down students, what he's really telling them is he's lying to them. He knows they have been dumbed down because he knows that only dumbed-down people would fall for such a stupid lie. And that's what is happening right now on planet Earth in this greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. Because knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. And if you have a knowledge of history, you know that what Klaus Schwab is saying is never going to bring happiness. It's going to bring misery. And you get to learn a lot of other things. And if you had knowledge, you could spare yourself an enormous amount of grief. So, how do we combat this very evil and dark force that reveals itself as being dumbed down, being deprived of a knowledge of history, not having any knowledge or truth or information or power or data so that you know the truth about what really happened. How do you combat this dark force? Because history teaches us that the only reason communism is successful in launching one revolution after another, the only reason communism is successful in conquering one nation after another, is because communism and Marxism and socialism rely on spreading spiritual deception and spreading lies and spreading disinformation. As long as they can spin the propaganda, as long as they can communicate lies, then they can conquer people's minds and conquer nations. Which brings us to another vital point, and we're going to get to that in a moment. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Remember, knowledge is power, and every one of us have been placed here on earth by God to participate in the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. And so it is imperative that we have knowledge so that we can effectively communicate knowledge to people, including our children, all around us. Help this ministry, Paul McGuire Ministries, reach people as fast as we possibly can with the truth, with knowledge, with the real facts, with real history. Help us reach people as fast as we can, because the clock is running out quickly. The spreading of lies, the spreading of disinformation is happening at a very fast rate, especially because of social media and the internet and the mass media. The people who have joined the side of evil and spiritual darkness are spending a fortune working 24/7 to conquer people's minds, because what their goal is to exploit the dumbness, exploit the stupidity of the masses so that they can conquer nation after nation after nation. And their end game is to totally dominate, totally control the world. They want to rule the world with their ideas and their beliefs. So you need to partner with someone like me, or partner with somebody else that you believe in. Because it's only when we unify with a common purpose and an agenda that our power multiplies. And when we allow our power to multiply, it's only then that we can overcome the forces of darkness. It's only then that we can overcome the lies and the deceit. And it's only then that we can, this is what it all really comes down to. It's only then, depending upon how quickly we can communicate, depending upon how quickly we can overcome their lies, it's to that degree that we will be victorious, or we will suffer brutal defeat at the hands of our spiritual enemies. It's just that quick. It's just that quick. You study history. It just takes a couple of years once you start spreading the seeds of lies and propaganda. Then it's usually just a couple of short years where you start to conquer the hearts and minds of millions of people. And then the next thing you know, there's the inevitable acceleration process. People are enslaved by the millions. they're sent into captivity. That means concentration camps. That means re-education camps. That means prisons. They're sent into captivity by the millions at a very fast rate. And they're totally dominated and controlled. And this scenario is playing out in our nation now. So we don't really have all that much time left on the timetable. The clock is ticking. So I challenge you as your brother in Christ, I exhort you to pray and ask God what you can do. And then whatever the Lord speaks to your heart, whatever plan, whatever action God puts on your heart, then I'm challenging you to obey the Lord, to do whatever it is he's telling you to do. And if he's not telling you to join with this ministry and support this ministry, then pray, contribute, finance, and donate to another ministry that you believe is doing what God wants done. Because look, if nothing is done, we're toast. It's over. It's over. If we continue on this present path, it's over. God has still given us an opportunity to change the direction, to change the outcome. But we need to move quickly. So I'm asking you to pray. I'm asking you to seek the face of the Lord. And then whatever God puts on your heart, however God speaks to you, act. Act. And if we do that, if we all do our part, we can turn it around and win. And make sure you get your knowledge of Bible prophecy screwed down and tightened. If your knowledge of Bible prophecy is all loose and sloppy, you're not going to have a clue as to what to do. Because you're going to say something that's false. Like, well, I'm not worried about anything because Jesus is coming. I'm not knocking the rapture. But I'm telling you right now that the words you just used are never the words that Jesus used. So why are you using them? Why are you making your plans and the plans for your children's lives and grandchildren? Why are you making your plans based on a total misunderstanding of what Jesus taught us? Jesus didn't teach us to sit on our posteriors doing nothing until Christ returned. He never said that. Jesus Christ told us to occupy until he comes. And how do you occupy? If you occupy until Christ comes, that means you're the one dominating, controlling, and ruling. And that's not a bad thing because, look, either you're controlling, ruling, and reigning, or the powers of darkness are. And if the powers of darkness are ruling and reigning, then you're going to be living in hell on earth. So visit paulmaguire.us. That's paulmaguire.us. Take advantage of all our discounts on our many book specials, especially the discount on Power from On High, and visit paulmaguire.us. That's paulmaguire.us. Make sure you spread our links, our videos, our audios far and wide by visiting paulmaguire.us. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Paul Maguire. What I am sharing with you and discussing with you now is a matter of utmost importance because on today's Paul Maguire Report, I'm explaining to you exactly what's happening in our world, what the agenda is, the dark agenda, and what you and I can do to stop it and to defeat it before it's too late. Let's do some bullet point understandings of the dark strategies that are being used against you, me, the average family, the average single person, and so on and so forth. And let's review them. I was a radical in the counterculture in the 1960s. I was like 14, 15 years old, but I was a full-blown radical. I write about this in my book because it took me a lifetime to discover what I'm sharing with you now. Some of you lived through the same time period. The 1960s to the 1970s counterculture, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll, the hippies, the Beatles, Led Zeppelin, the Moody Blues, you name it, the Who. That entire counterculture was, to put it bluntly, it was a manufactured reality that was deliberately created in social engineering and mind control institutes in both Great Britain and the United States. Some of the names of these institutes was the Eslin Institute, Rand Corporation, Tavistock, Stanford Research Institute, MIT, and many others. I'm not saying the entire school, but they had their divisions and departments where they specialized in propaganda, social engineering, mind control, etc., etc. And they had a common objective. The common objective was to target the youth that were part of what used to be a Judeo-Christian and a Christian America. So they specifically targeted as the enemy this entire concept of a Christian America, a biblical America, a traditional moral values America, a family values America, a patriotic and nationalistic America. They targeted that vision or idea of America because it was in the 1950s, that was the dominant vision for America. But very, very powerful people targeted it for destruction. And this is how they did it, quite simply. I discuss it in Power from On High. They used the most powerful psychological warfare technologies, mind control technologies, hypnotic programming technologies, social engineering, advertising technologies. They employed all of these mind-altering technologies on the youth of America and Great Britain, etc. It began subtly. You had those, looking back, they were very innocent. By today's standards, they were very innocent-looking guys. They had their little cute mop-top haircuts. You know, they were the Beatles, a cute little name. They wore suits and a tie, very harmless. The parents, you know, were upset, but the parents were really very mildly upset because the Beatles came off so seeker-friendly, so positive, so clean-cut. You know, they sang songs like She Loves Me, Yeah, 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 I Want to Hold Your Hand. The songs were very, very tame. And that was the beginning of an all-out psychological warfare invasion to hit the streets of America. But you see, the initial infiltration was one where they came off like a lamb, but inside they were a wolf in sheep's clothing. And sheep were the relatively harmless Beatles. Now, time goes by, not very much time, a couple of years. And all of a sudden, then the the raunchier and rougher groups came in, like Led Zeppelin, where one of them was a Satan worshiper. The Rolling Stones with their hit song, Sympathy for the Devil, and a lot of other rock groups that were hardcore sex, hardcore occult, hardcore drugs. They were rebels. They were revolutionaries, and they promoted evil. Okay, so the infiltration began to escalate, and then you watch the Beatles. They began to very, very subtly change right before the eyes of the youth generation. Now their hair was down to their belt buckles. Now they were taking LSD and singing sexual songs like "Why Don't We Do It in the Road?" and singing songs about smoking marijuana and singing songs about taking LSD. And there were photographs of them with their Eastern mystical gurus. And the Beatles regularly flew down to India to meditate with their guru. And then the other rock bands followed with the Beatles. But we all know the dynamic that was at work. People like the Beatles were all idols to the youth generation. So whatever the Beatles were doing, the youth generation imitated and copied. So then the youth generation began taking LSD. The youth generation engaged in promiscuous sex. The youth generation was into Eastern mystical meditation and gurus from India. The youth generation was doing all this radical anti-Christian stuff that it never would have done before. So what's happening here? You are watching a hypnotic war, a mind control war, taking place right in front of your eyes. The youth generation is glued to the television, the concerts, the constant AM and FM bombardment of subliminal lyrics and anti-Christian lyrics, you know, Ozzy Osbourne, Black Sabbath, and all that stuff. And then another classic formula for mind control is called repetition. So they keep playing the lyrics, they keep playing the songs. Wherever you drive in the car, wherever you drive in the United States, you hear the same rotation of music with all the bad lyrics. It's always being repeated. Every AM and FM station is playing the exact same rotational song list and listening to the exact same rock groups with the exact same lyrics over and over and over again. While they're stoned on marijuana and God knows what else, and all of a sudden the entire youth generation goes crazy. You saw the pictures of Woodstock. 400,000 kids, barely dressed, half naked, three quarters naked, having sex in the mud, blowing their minds with LSD and other groups. And these groups, these psychedelic drug mind-bending groups, are playing what is in reality, if you analyze it with your mind, that the music that these rock groups are playing. It's the music of tribalism. It's the music of tribal native cultures. The bombastic hypnotic drums, the wailing guitars. If you listen to it through an analytical perspective, what you're really hearing, even though they're calling it rock and roll, what you're really hearing is hypnotic, tribal, chanting, peyote-taking, drug-taking, tribalistic music. And it gets deeper than that. And by the way, anywhere along the line, if you want to challenge me, feel free. Bring it on, really. I'm saying bring it on. We'll tape it. Bring it on. Because I promise you, whatever amount of time you think you've been studying or researched this topic, I've been studying and researching it for 50 years. Not only did I live it, I studied it. So let me give you a little bullet point, two bullet points here and there. There was a famous sociologist, anthropologist, who won a Nobel Prize. Her name was Dr. Margaret Mead. She traveled to remote islands where the only people on these remote islands were ancient tribes that were living the same exact way that their ancestors lived 300, 400 years ago. And they would, Dr. Mead and Dr. Bateson would film and study and film and audio record certain specific things when they traveled to these tribalistic islands. They noticed what they were after, because they were partners with Aldous Huxley. What they were after in their research, it was what they were looking for, what they were studying was how these ancient tribalistic cultures on these remote islands, how they were able to put themselves into mass hypnotic, mass tribalistic states of consciousness, or what are known as trance states. So these high-powered scientists were financed with big bucks. They were underwritten by major Ivy League colleges. And they flew into, I'm talking about in the middle of nowhere, islands and ancient civilizations, where they filmed and they did audio recording and they did observations and participations of how these ancient tribalistic native cultures would whip themselves into a hypnotic frenzy, to whip themselves into a total trance state. And they filmed it, and you'd see thousands of people, you know, moving weird, like people did in rock and roll concerts once upon a time. Now, by the way, how was it that the people that are moving in these strange tribalistic dance moves at Woodstock and Altamont and the other big rock and roll concerts, they didn't travel to these islands? They didn't travel to these tribalistic cultures. So how in the heck did they learn how to dance and shake their booty, or whatever you want to call it? How did they learn all that? Because it wasn't in American media. Who brought the How to Do It manual of these ancient tribalistic trance cultures to America? Well, I'll tell you what happened. They were sent on a mission. The scientific elite, Aldous Huxley, who was part of this team, in his book, Brave New World, which I read in third grade, and it had profound influence on me. In Aldous Huxley's book, Brave New World, and then later on I read another book he wrote called Heaven and Hell and the Doors of Perception. And he did research and experimentation in how to create trance states. Well, it's any wonder, because his partner was Dr. Gregory Bateson and Dr. Mead, who traveled to remote villages and learned firsthand and recorded how these ancient tribal cultures could kick themselves into an altered state of consciousness, also known as a trance state, through music and drugs and, you know, all kinds of weird stuff. Well, they brought that back and they showed those films and they played those audio tapes to secret think tanks that most people don't even know exist, like the Tavistock Group, like MIT, like Stanford Research Institute, Esalen, and everything else. And they used these videos, not videos, they used the film and the audio to teach the scientific mind control scientists how to duplicate trance states in the youth generation. What kind of music needed to be played in the ears of the youth generation to trigger these trance states. Now, we're gonna go up about 30,000 feet in altitude in 3 seconds. Ready? 1, 2, 3. The entire counterculture was manufactured. It was created based on a blueprint developed by scientific mind control scientists who got their blueprint from flying into ancient tribal civilizations in remote jungles and remote islands. And when they learned the specific techniques of how ancient tribes could enter a mass trance state and use drugs and get involved in sex and get into altered states of consciousness in the trance state, they learned step by step all the techniques that were necessary. So, wake up and listen. Wake up and listen. When you saw the Woodstock Rock Festival in the movies, or you went there or whatever, what you saw was 400,000 American teenagers who were secretly taught how to go into a trance state using sex, drugs, and rock and roll, how to dance in such a way that it would trigger a trance state. And those techniques were secretly introduced to the American 1960s hippie generation. You say, how did that happen? I don't believe you. You're a conspiracy theorist. You don't know what you're talking about. I'll give you one. Let me give you just one. One way they learned it, because I'm afraid, and I'm not talking to the average Paul McGuire Report listener, but anybody who happens to be sneaking in that is more has more self-esteem than they should realistically have. Let me give you one illustration. This was artificially spread across the United States and the world. It was logistically and strategically planned. I'll give you an example. The Grateful Dead traveled the United States of America with Ken Kesey from Stanford Research Institute in a day-glow psychedelic bus, and they would pull up at giant rock concerts of the Grateful Dead and other giant rock concerts. Ken Kesey and his electric Kool-Aid acid test, they would pull up to these giant rock concerts, and then they would make these giant vats of Kool-Aid, okay, in these giant vats. But what the people didn't know was the Kool-Aid was mixed with a certain percentage of LSD. So you would get a little cup of Kool-Aid to drink for free, but it was dosed with acid or LSD. Okay? And so the Grateful Dead, working with Ken Kesey and other people, traveled around the United States, all around the United States, giving electric Kool-Aid acid tests. And where did they get the hundreds and thousands of free doses of LSD? That would have normally cost millions and millions and millions of dollars. Who was financing the free distribution of LSD all over the place? people were drinking their little Dixie cup of Kool-Aid, and the next thing you know, they were tripping their brains out to the Grateful Dead and LSD. That's how it was spread. It was a methodical, strategic operation, highly planned, highly executed. So once they were tripping their brains out on LSD, they started to act real funky. LSD kicked them into a trance state. And then people who were trained in what is called living theater, choreography, infiltrated the crowds, and people began, thought they were cool in the way they were dancing. And so the dancing, they learned from the tribal cultures. And so they began dancing like the tribal cultures, which put them into an altered state of consciousness. And then, of course, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll came easily. So what was the end game here? The end game was to use a very sophisticated form of psychological warfare to artificially degrade Western culture and to transform Western culture into a very low-grade culture by flooding it with Eastern mysticism, psychedelic drugs, trance states, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, anti-rational, anti-logical, anti-knowledge thinking, to dumb American culture down and to suck the Judeo-Christian values out of it. Now, some of the scientists involved in this actually came out and explained what was happening, like Terence McKenna. He was the heir to Timothy Leary, the LSD professor from Harvard. And he just wrote books and spoke at college lectures. By now, they figured the kids were so dumbed down, they could tell him anything. And he came right out and said what the agenda was. He said the agenda is to create a dark revival. Terence McKenna said the agenda was to create an archaic revival. And by that, he meant that we are planning to, we're in the middle of executing strategically and methodically, not only a full-blown American archaic revival, a full-blown American dark revival, but we're going to spread it globally. And they use the same techniques. Terence McKenna had already been down in remote village tribalistic cultures. He was a professor of botany and many other sciences. As a professor of botany, Terence McKenna knew which botanical plants had powerful psychedelic properties, like ayahuasca, which is about as powerful as LSD, but it makes you vomit and sick to your stomach. And he was hanging out in the tribal jungles taking ayahuasca, and all these intellectuals and American writers and thinkers were flooding down there, and they were taking ayahuasca also. And then, of course, you can figure out what happens. The American intellectuals, the American rock and roll stars, the artists, the filmmakers, they're all in the jungles of South America, on the border there by Peru in the middle of nowhere, taking ayahuasca, taking peyote and other psychedelic plants, and they are strategically, biochemically igniting a full-blown dark revival and archaic revival, which they now import back into the United States, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Psilocybin, or magic mushrooms, it all explodes. And so what is all of this in its simplest terms? It's a full-on It's a full-on weaponized assault on Judeo-Christian biblical values, biblical culture, which is another way of saying it's an all-out attack on biblical Christianity, biblical morals, the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, salvation in Christ alone. It's an attack on the biblical roots of Christianity in America that was given to us by the biblical pilgrims and Puritans for the purpose of destroying a Judeo-Christian America. So this thing is still steamrolling full speed ahead with the end game of destroying a Christian and biblical America, turning it into a pagan America, a Luciferian America, a witchcraft America. That's all happening now. Witchcraft is the fastest growing religion in America. So you can see the handwriting on the wall, can't you? We are under all-out spiritual attack. And I'm not blaming the parents. I mean, I'm not blaming a lot of people, because a lot of people don't have the time, the opportunity, the interest, the background, the research, the academic background to gather this knowledge. It's very hard to find and assemble. By God's grace, God gave me an opportunity to assemble this knowledge. And I'm here to tell you about it because I want you to know that the way I hear most people pray in an intercessory prayer meeting, the way I hear most Christians talk about spiritual warfare, I mean, I'm not insulting you. I don't want to discourage you. But most people, most Christians that I meet that are talking about spiritual warfare and reclaiming America for Christ, they don't have a clue. They are clueless to the level and to the intensity of what they're up against. So let me say it simply, and then we're going to close out. All these ancient ritualistic, tribalistic dances that put people in trance states, the use of ancient tribalistic drugs like ayahuasca and peyote and magic mushrooms, the trance states they put themselves into, all of this frenzied dancing, the sex, drugs, and rock and roll, the trance states in the remote villages, in jungles of Peru, etc. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You see, if Christians were up to speed, I wouldn't be the first guy to tell you this. It's all in my book, Power from On High. You can get a discount on it now. But I'm telling you, Power from On High, by God's grace, is going to give you the knowledge that will download into your spirit power from on high with such force, because actually if you translate it, you don't translate it through evangelical sunglasses. That's a good way to mistranslate it. You translate the words power from on high from the biblical root words. Power from on high comes from the Greek word dunamis, which means the dynamite power of God. So if you're clothed with power from on high, you're filled with power from on high, which is the dunamis, the dynamite power of God. That means when you're filled with power from on high, you are detonating the dunamis force of the power of the Holy Spirit to vaporize, to destroy, to incinerate demons, armies of demons, principalities and powers, territorial spirits, and fallen angels. Because real spiritual warfare is not a game. It's a reality. People live and people die spiritually. So God prophetically knows it's the last days. He's called us to occupy until he comes. That's soon. So we're not supposed to be fighting the devil and the principalities and powers with squirt guns, water balloons. God never told us to use water balloons and squirt guns. That's what the evangelical church, that's the weapons that the evangelical church is using right now. God never said that. God said, for the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You have to access an energy power, a source of power that is so powerful that it can blow out the demons and fallen angels right out of the invisible realm of the environment that God told you to occupy. You need to repeat that back, write it down, and think about it. Now, let's take the next step. In victory, the way we turn the battle around in America and around the world is we access the power that God has given us, the dunamis dynamite power of God. Why do you think these ancient tribalistic cultures, dancing in a trance state, taking psychedelic drugs? Let me ask you a question, because I was at tons of rock and roll festivals and concerts, doing LSD, taking drugs, communicating with spirit guides. I did all of that stuff, and some of you have too. I can tell you what happens when human beings begin to participate in those demonic tribalistic activities. When you start doing that stuff, because this is why the ancient tribalistic cultures did it, when you start doing that stuff, you're opening your inner man or inner woman to either being possessed by demons or to being externally oppressed by demons. When you're externally oppressed by demons, the theological term for that is demonization. You're under the influence of demons. These tribalistic cultures knew exactly what they were doing. They were going into a trance to either be possessed by demons, or they were going into a trance to be externally oppressed by demons. That's why they do the trance and the ritual. So now you got to wake up and see reality through the eyes of Christ. And what you'll see is that in America, there have been multiple generations that because they started doing the trances of the ancient tribalistic cultures, they started doing the psychedelic drugs, the sex, drugs, rock and roll, the strange dancing, the incantations, the trance-like gyrations, et cetera, et cetera. All of that, please listen to me carefully, all of that is... Listen to it because you're not going to hear it in your squeaky, clean, soft, evangelical Bible study. Okay, you're not going to hear it there. You're going to hear it here on the Paul McGuire Report. They do that because all of that constitutes an occult ritual which opens the door in the hearts and minds of people for satanic possession, or opens the door in the hearts and minds of people for demonization, which means being externally oppressed by demons. Either way you go, you're inviting through ritual and dance and psychedelic drugs, etc., you're inviting, you're summoning the fallen angels into your environment. Now, when you summon the fallen angels into your environment, I don't need to tell you what happens. Look at America today. Take a good look at it, and you tell me if there is has not been the summoning of demons and demonic armies. You already know the answer to that question. And it's going to increase until the moment that God's people stop shucking and jiving in the name of Jesus, and God's people say, No, I repent, Jesus, for not obeying you. You said, for the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to pulling down of strongholds. What business do I have, God, fighting territorial spirits, demons, and external demonization? These are powerful supernatural beings and powerful supernatural forces. How come I'm so deceived that I'm fighting these principalities and powers with an evangelical squirt gun or water gun? Lord Jesus, I repent of disobeying your word. Lord, I choose now to obey you. I repent of unbelief, and I ask you right now in Jesus' name to clothe me with power from on high, the dunamis power, the dynamite power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, as I'm praising your name now, you are right now clothing me and filling me inwardly with the dunamis dynamite power of the Holy Spirit. And as I praise the name of Jesus, there is a valid detonation in the spiritual realm or the invisible realm. There is a valid detonation of a dynamite explosive force that is so powerful that it literally blows the demonic powers. It blows the fallen angels. It blows the demons out of the territories, the hearts, the minds, the people, the young people, the generation. It blows the demonic realm totally out of the environments that you told your people, you commanded your people to occupy until I come, which means you commanded us, Lord, to occupy until you come. Occupy what? Occupy the land that is currently being dominated by demons and principalities and powers, and that's not the way it should be. Lord, we will repent, and now, Lord, by faith, we receive power from on high. And we thank you, God, that at this moment, as people are reaching their hands upwards towards heaven in a posture of worship, as we praise your name, God, we thank you in the name of Jesus that at this very second you are clothing us with power from on high. And the dunamis power, the dynamite power of the Holy Spirit, like an electrical force, like dynamite, is exploding in the invisible realm, and it's purging the environments of all demonic activity. Lord, we praise you for that. And Lord, we thank you right now that as every person extends their hands upwards and openly in worship towards you, God, we thank you at this moment that your word is true, and we thank you at this moment that you're clothing us with power from on high. Lord, by faith, we receive power from on high, and you can feel it right now. You can feel it as certainly as you can hear my voice. You can feel the entrance of power from on high coming into your innermost being, anointing you body, soul, and spirit. You can feel it, and stop lying and saying you can't. If the issue is your pride and whether you want to believe it or not, then settle your pride by repenting of it and receive power from on high. So Lord, we praise you that you're pouring out power from on high. You're clothing us with power from on high, and like a powerful electrical force, like the power of the dunamis, the dynamite force of the Holy Spirit. There's a detonation in the invisible realm, and there's an infusing. We praise you, Lord, that there's a mighty infusing of the power of the Holy Spirit in our inmost being right now, Jesus. And like an electrical force, like a healing force, like power from on high, like the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. like the mind of Christ is being fully, not partially activated. We praise you, Lord, that as we're reaching out our hands and praising you, at this moment, the tide of the spiritual battle is being turned. We praise you for that. And as we praise you, Lord, we thank you that we hear the shrieking of demons in absolute terror as the presence of God dominates them, engulfs them, and drives them out of the land that you told us to occupy, namely America. America was not called by you to be destroyed. It was called by you to be filled with your Holy Spirit so that it could fulfill its end times destiny. Lord, I thank you for ministering to people. I thank you for delivering people. I thank you for filling people with the power of your Holy Spirit. I thank you that the rivers of living water are flowing out of our inmost being. And Lord, most of all, right now, God, your word says that it's not by might or strength, the word of God says, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So the power of God is not demonstrated by screaming and yelling and hollering and rolling on the floor and barking like a dog. The power of God is not a matter of human inertia, human willpower. It's not a matter of human emotion, human, you know, whipping it up. For the power of God is not it's not a matter of might or some kind of human inner strength, but my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So the still small voice of God is ministering to you by his Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is coming upon you and healing you. The Spirit of the Lord is coming upon you and making you sound. He's making you of sound mind. Right now, I want to tell you, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that those of you that have been plagued by harassing and demonic thoughts and mental confusion and mental turmoil, the Lord wants you to hear him. The Lord wants you to hear his still small voice, because in the Lord's still small voice is a peace that is beyond peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding and guards like a fortified wall, guards our hearts and our minds. That's where the battle is. Guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So receive the peace of God. And be ministered to by the peace of God. And right now, in Jesus' name, be made perfectly whole by the peace of God. And you can feel in the atmosphere of your room or walking or whatever you're doing, you are surrounded by the peace of God. And so if it's permissible, and you're not going to look like a lunatic, and praise the Lord Jesus out of the peace of God that he's put in your spirit. I can sense the peace of God that it passes all understanding completely filling this radio studio where I am. And I close today's show, the Paul McGuire Report, with blessing you in the name of Jesus and exhorting you to receive his peace. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. God bless you. This is the Paul McGuire Report. Visit paulmcguire.us.